and fellow pilgrims. One of our fellow pilgrims, Rudy Nelson, went to be with the Lord this week. Rudy sits over here at Jim Martin's table, and he'll be missed. There will be a viewing tonight and a funeral tomorrow morning. You can get the details in the newspaper or by seeing someone up here at Jim's table. And there is a memorial that has been set up. If anybody wants to contribute, you can put money into that. See Jim Martin. So our prayers are with Imogene and family and loved ones. And as you know, those of you who know Rudy, he was the man who was completely crippled up. And in the last few months has been in a wheelchair and was in excruciating pain, and so it's quite a promotion for him. He's the lucky one. So, also, I want to mention, this is a personal moment, okay? This will be compensation for all the hours I put into my labor for getting ready for you guys each week. This seminar that I'm going to be doing in January, actually it's filling up pretty quickly, and so we're opening up a second set of dates 3 weeks later. And if you are part of a leadership team in an organization and you don't have a common way of doing things, a common language, let me encourage you to consider coming to this. Or if you have any kind of succession planning going on in your organization, or if you are a rising leader and you don't really have formal leadership training. Leaders lead, but you can definitely profit some from formal leadership training for men and women, people of all faiths. It's a general leadership seminar. It's going to be at the Casa Feliz over here in Winter Park, 3 days, and you can get the brochures in the back. The best thing you can do if you don't know whether or not you should come is to call me, and let's in about 10 minutes or less, I can ask you a few questions and make a recommendation. Some people I've recommended that they not come, others that they do come. It kind of depends on where you are. So I can help you figure out whether or not it'd be something for you. So jot down this number. 407-644-5606. That's my direct line. I'll give it to you again. Don't call me with any kind of multi-marketing schemes. But if you would like to talk for a few minutes about this, 407-644-5606. Okay? Good. And this will be the last time I teach this before it all goes into a book. Okay. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the dreads. We're going to ask and answer the question, what is the cure for a sense of dread? This morning at 3:18, I heard the phone ringing and I heard the alarm going off. But it sounded like I had earplugs in because it wasn't as loud as our alarm is supposed to sound. And so then when I answered the phone, I was expecting it to be our alarm service company, but it wasn't. It was the 23-year-old young lady that lives next door to us, because it was her alarm that was going off. And these two girls that have both just graduated from college were home alone. Their parents were off on a trip. And at 3:18 in the morning, their alarm goes off. And so they were filled with terror. They were filled with dread. And at 3:18, after having been called, I joined them, being filled with a sense of dread. So I went over to the house, and one of them, shaking like a leaf, came to the door and said that just moments ago when she'd been upstairs, she had heard a key in the lock, and that the door had been opened, and that somebody must have come in because the door was now unlocked and it had been locked right before. And so now I'm really starting to feel the dread. And about that time, Around the corner walks the neighbor that lives on the other side, who also has a key to the house. And she had heard the alarm, and so she had come over to investigate as well. Yeah, that's dread. And you know what that feels like, that sense of dread that comes at a break-in. Or you may have felt the sense of dread when you just figured out that you have been the object of a scam. And that sicky, icky, dready feeling that comes. Or maybe it could be a relationship that where somebody said, you know, I just don't want this relationship anymore. And you know the sickening, dreadful feeling that comes over you. So we're going to talk about dread this morning. We're going to talk about it three ways. First, we'll talk about, you know, what are the dreads and how do you get them. Then we'll talk about a sense of well-being. And then we will talk about the cure to the dreads and how you can get there. Last time we were here, we talked on the subject of faith. How can we have more faith? The big idea was nothing in the past or present, even remotely, suggests that God will not keep his word. Yes, yes. There is nothing in God's character, past or present, anything that's ever happened that even remotely suggests that God won't keep his word. And so I thought it would be good to take that now and this faith thing, getting more faith, and now let's apply it. Let's apply it. And this week we're going to apply it to dread. Maybe it'll come up some more before the series is over. What is the cure for a sense of dread? And then the first thing we want to talk about here is what are the dreads and how do we get them? Well, sometimes we get the dread. And by the way, I think it's probably a combination of a lot of different emotions. You know, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's a sense of the stress that comes with it. But you know what I'm talking about. And but there are these crisis events, and I gave a few examples a moment ago, but there's also this kind of systemic dread. It's waking up every Monday morning and you just feel heavy. You feel gravity weighing you down. You feel a sense of dread. And the reason I wanted to do this topic is I actually had this on Monday morning. I had a case of the dreads on Monday morning. And it was interesting because I became aware of two things. Number one, I realized that it had been a long, long time since I'd had a case of the dreads. And then I also had a second epiphany because I knew what to do. And in very short order, I was able to cure the dreads. And so the second epiphany was that, first one is that it's been a long time. The second one is that as God has been gracious, the length of the dreads has become shorter and shorter. So longer and longer between episodes and shorter when I do get them. And I want us to talk about that. I want us to talk a little bit about systemic dread. And you've had this. What is it? Well, it's you could kind of summarize it. It's like the loss of the sense of well-being. It's kind of like you have a sense of well-being and then you lose it. I remember as a young businessman and a Christian, it would come over me every Sunday afternoon. Every Sunday afternoon I would get the dreads. And I would be such a bear to live with that finally my family bought me a small TV, set it up in the master bedroom and said, "That's where we want you to spend Sunday afternoons." Cross my heart, true statement. And I didn't know how, I didn't have enough faith to work through it at the time. But over the years, things change. You get more faith, and so we're going to talk about all this. Your faith gets shaken somehow. What are the dreads? How do you get them? You get them, you know, when you want something. And you want something for the right reasons and for the wrong reasons. You know? You want something and you know you want it for the right reasons, but you also know that you really want it for the wrong reasons. You want to, and so you, there's this kind of idea where you get vested in wanting something. And I don't know how it happens, but we end up wanting that more than we want Jesus Christ. And in fact, if given the choice at that particular moment, we can often become so vested in something we want that if somebody forced us to make a choice, I'm choosing that. And we do. And we're still Christians, and we still love Christ, but we're just trapped. We're just sucked in. And then the dreads start coming on. Governor Babcock of Montana once said to his legislature, he said, "We're like 100 ants floating on a log down a river, and each of us think we're steering." And that's what you and I are. We're like 150, 200 ants floating on a log down a river, and some of us think we're actually steering this thing. And if you get vested in the idea that I'm steering, and it doesn't go where you want it to go, oh, the dreads set in. Yes? So what are the dreads? Well, it's this icky feeling, this loss of sense of well-being. And how do we get them? Well, we either get them by trying to be in control, or maybe our faith gets shaken somehow. Maybe we don't have enough faith. Maybe we're of little faith. We have faith, enough faith for salvation, but we're little faiths in terms of our living out. So how do we get more faith? How do we get our sense of well-being back? We're going to apply this today. On Monday morning, when I got my little ickies, my little case of the dreads, as I said, I know what to do. And you do, too. And on Monday morning, I did it. And so I processed. And I'm going to give you one of my... This is a statement, if you've ever been through the first-timers table, you've heard this statement. Because this is one of my core life principles. This is something that I try to live by. And so on Monday morning, I said, well, what are my core principles? And how do I get back to that? I got the dreads. How do I get them? Well, I get back to my core principles. And here's the core principle. The big idea today. I must each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender of my life to the Lordship of Jesus. So, Ken and I have been meeting for lunch once a week for 30 years. And we talk about this, the importance of surrender, that it's all about surrender. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I was telling Ken when we met this week, I said, I found myself this week, I pray the Lord's Prayer pretty much every day, kind of pray through it a phrase at a time, and then I let my mind go wherever it goes and pray about whatever needs to be prayed about or think about whatever needs to be thought about. And so it took me 40 minutes one day this week to pray the Lord's Prayer. 40 minutes to pray the Lord's Prayer. And that's how I come humbly. I come humbly to the foot of the cross. I come there in prayer, and then I come and I look in the Scriptures. And so the big idea today is I must each day, because I am a rebel, because I am a renegade, because I've told my wife until further notice, if I should die, please put on my tombstone, conquered by grace. I must each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. That's the deal. That's the deal. And so pretty much every day I actually think this phraseology out and then do the steps that need to be done. This week, I was struck by this little formula: faith plus training plus experience equals well-being. On Monday morning, when I had my little episode, the first thing I did before I prayed is I prayed, and then I asked God to become real to me, to speak to me, and then, knowing that the way He usually speaks to me is through the Bible, then I said, okay, well then I'm going to read the Bible. So I gave Him the opportunity to speak to me, and so I read my Bible, and I picked up 1 Peter chapter 1, which is here in the readings for this week. And you see, it doesn't really make much difference where you start reading, because God in His providence has so orchestrated all events that whatever you need is going to be wherever you are in His Word at that particular time, or so it seems to me at least. And so I'd like to read to you what took away the dreads for me on Monday morning. We could go like this. We could go like this. And that would take away the dreads, but this is what I happened to read Monday morning that took away the dreads. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. This book, 1 Peter, is so fantastic. It's if this was the only part of the Bible, if this was the entire Bible, 1 Peter, it would be enough. It would be enough. 1 Peter is fantastic. This is Peter, the guy they crucified, some say upside down. This is the boisterous one, the impulsive one, the impetuous one, the one that Jesus called the Rock. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Wow. I just got a letter from Peter. That's pretty cool. You just got a letter from Peter. Ping. You have mail. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces, many of them. Verse 2. God the Father, this is the verse. As soon as I read this, I felt the dreads kind of wafting away. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. This is Peter saying this to me on behalf of God. This is Peter saying this to you on behalf of God. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We don't live with the dreads. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, because beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, applying our faith this week, and through your faith, God is protecting you by His power. While you're a little ant floating along a log down a river thinking that you're steering, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. You don't have to have the dreads. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith, we're applying faith this week, that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, you don't see him, but you trust him. The reward, verse 9, for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So, faith, to overcome the dreads, to regain the sense of well-being, we do this by faith, by putting our faith in Jesus. And then, faith is not enough to live well. Faith is enough for salvation, but faith is not enough to live well. I just closed my Bible. What day is that on? You won your Bible. 22nd. Thanks. Turn over then to the next day, November 23rd, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have men come to this Bible study all the time. Over the years, we've had hundreds and hundreds of men who have walked through the door. Some are Christians, some are not, that are just miserable. They're just miserable. And why are they miserable? Because they've never been trained. The ones that have faith, they have faith, but they've never been trained. Denzel Washington, I played the clip here once. Denzel Washington said, in Man on Fire, he said, you're either trained or you're not trained. And if you're not trained, then when you are buffeted by these trials, Your little faith has not had a chance to grow. You know, faith, Bill Brightout used to always say, faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the bigger it gets. So we have to train. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, so get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Watch this, verse 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk, training, so that you will grow, training, into what? A full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment, as you do when you come here on Friday mornings. That's by your attendance here on Friday morning, this is an act of crying out for nourishment, for training, for discipleship. Congratulations. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Wow. Faith plus training plus experience. Because every time you have your faith tested, pushed a little bit, and you see God deliver on his promise. Nothing past or present even remotely suggests that God will not keep his promise. And you see God work, and you have experience with God. It bolsters your faith. And so the next time you come to the dreads, you come with a little bit more faith and a little bit more training. And you find yourself on this shortening cycle of recovering your sense of well-being. My model, Man in the Mirror's model, the Create, Capture, Sustain Momentum model, looks like this. And so we create momentum in our relationship with God with faith. That's how we create momentum in the relationship. We put our faith in Jesus. And then we capture the momentum through training. You have faith, and then you come, you get training, you read the word, you da-da-da-da. And then you sustain the momentum with experience. And then see the arrow going back up to create, because then you go through this cycle again. It looks something like this. This is what it looks like on a linear basis. Here's another way you can look at it, too. It's just that every time you do one of the cycles, you just kind of spiral into more and more faith, more and more training, more and more experience, and a greater sense of well-being over time. The big idea today is this: I must each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in faith. I need to be trained. And then I have experience with God. And then I find my sense of well-being coming back to me. Hey, let me just tell you, I used to think that God was a nitpicker. You know, you read the Bible and it's, don't do this, obey this, love this person, you know, treat your wife this way, don't treat your kids that way, da 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 da. I said, man, what a nitpicker. And you know, you probably, at some point at least, at some point you probably said, well, you know, gosh, God is really a nitpicker. And this is even worse if you already have a nitpicker in your life because you've seen it exampled. I mean, you have nitpickers in your life, right? It's just, H.B. London calls them joy suckers. They just suck the joy right out of you. They just, you're humming along, you're doing the best you can, you're feeling good, you got well-being, you know, and then all of a sudden, nitpick, joy suck. You know, you got the dreads back. And that's what God is trying to tell us here in 1 Peter, really, is that he's trying to say, hey, I'm not a nitpicker. I am a gracious God, and I want you to live in great expectation. I want you to live in true gladness. I want you to be truly glad. That's what he wants. And you do this by, I don't want you to live with the dreads. And you do this by faith plus training plus experience. This is how you get to this place where you can say, we live with great expectation. Can you say that? Do you feel that way? When somebody asks you, how are you doing today? What do you say? Well, so-so, or well, I'm getting by, or well, I'm making it. Or do you say something that communicates, I'm living with great expectation. I'm truly glad. I love in the African American culture when I ask a brother or sister how they're doing, and they said I'm blessed. Well, I know immediately that I'm, well, usually talking to a fellow brother or sister in Christ. I'm blessed. I love that. Sometimes I say it. Wish I said it every time. Wish I could say it every time. Wish I would say it every time. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the cure and how to get there. Of course, we're already talking about it. Look at chapter 2, verse 4 with me, if you would. Do you remember, if you were here the last time, do you remember what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 told us to do? Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that slows us down and run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And then it said something about Jesus. What did it say? It said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And you see it again right here, verse 4. The cure and how to get there. What is the cure for the dreads? It's coming to Christ. He says, you are coming to Christ. You are not coming to an idol made by human hands. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. And drop down to the last phrase of verse 6. It says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Hey, faith is more than just believing it's true. Believing it's true is not faith. I believe that Madonna is a great performer, or at least a famous performer. Famous performer. I don't believe she's a great performer. I said that wrong. I believe that Madonna is a famous performer, but I would never trust her, and I would never follow her. Believing is not the same thing as trusting. When we come to Jesus, we trust him. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. 7. Yes, when you trust him, you who trust him recognize the honor that God has given him. So the cure, it's what I did on Monday. It's daily surrender. It's the big idea. I must each day, and preferably before I get the dreads, come humbly to the foot of the cross of Jesus and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender of my life to the Lordship of Jesus. We're a couple hundred ants floating on a log down a river. And we know what? We know that we're not steering. It's overcoming the dreads is really regaining your sense of well-being, my well-being, our well-being. It's really about regaining our perspective. It's really about regaining the perspective of the ant. It's really about putting things in perspective. It's really about what it said in 1 Peter chapter 1. He knew us and he chose us long ago. And there's nothing you can do to screw that up. You're his. You belong to him. I belong to him. And he wants us to live with great expectation. He wants us to be truly glad, even in the trials. And as we go through this faith training experience cycle, that can grow and we can have a sense of well-being. And the way we do this is to come humbly each day to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Hey, why don't we say that out loud together? I must each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. That means that there's something that you have that you need to surrender. This presupposes that there's something that within 24 hours that you have taken back from the Lordship of Jesus and that you need to surrender and resurrender this. Think about this. Think about how this might apply to your life. It's a big idea. You could adopt that sentence, or you could adapt that sentence, or you could innovate your own sentence. But somehow the idea of living a life of daily surrender, it's the cure for the dreads. Let's pray. Our dearest Father, Lord, first of all, I thank you for these men. A couple hundred guys out of a couple of million people getting up on Friday morning to be trained in the gospel and how it penetrates into our work and our families and our lives. And and their zeal to be here at an early hour. And I thank you for them, and I praise you for them. And Lord, I pray that you would cure the dreads, and that you would, having talked about this morning, a future cure, that when these men get their cases of the dreads, that you would remind them of this morning, and that you would show them a way to well-being. And I make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.